Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back for another episode of the Startup Hustle. This is your host today, Matt Watson, and I'm excited to be joined today by Shane Edisted from Home Key Systems. Before we get into that today, I do want to remind everybody that this episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. Helping software developers is difficult. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably and has the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Today's episode is part of our series about the top Phoenix startups. In our show notes, there are links to learn more about what we're doing with the Phoenix startups, and you can listen to all the different episodes and the overview episode about all of them. Shane, congratulations on being one of those top startups, and welcome to the show, man.
Great. Thanks for having us, Matt. We're excited that we're in the top for Arizona. And that Home Key is scaling rapidly outside of Arizona. So super excited to be here
well,
today.
It's always fun for us to, you know, shine the spotlight on different cities. You know, I'm here in Kansas City, and, you know, nobody thinks of us as having a startup community either. But we've got some little companies here like Cerner, the largest healthcare software, and AMC Theaters has a huge, you know, development team here. Like, there's a lot of different tech stuff that also goes on here. How's the how is it in Phoenix? What's the tech scene like in Phoenix?
It's growing rapidly for the past, I would say, 5 years. I've been in the tech scene in Arizona since the 90s. Show my age a little bit. And I can say that the past 5 years have just been incredibly exciting. You know, I say we're the next up and coming Austin, although I don't know if that's widely accepted, but I would say that it's moving very, very rapidly.
Well, it seems like all the major cities along the West Coast outside of California are really growing from everybody trying to get out of California, A, because the cost is too high. I mean, it costs like 40% more to hire an employee there or something like that, right? Plus of all the taxes and other, you know, bull crap that comes on along with California. So it seems like that whole, you know, Utah and Portland and Seattle, like a whole area over there seems like it's growing rapidly.
Yeah. Phoenix, in particular, the metro, I think the second largest migratory path right now is from LA Basin to Phoenix Metro.
Yeah.
So we're growing really fast. It's not as cheap to live here as it used to be, unfortunately, because of that. So home prices are skyrocketing, among the country's highest, which is not super great when we're trying to bring in a lot of talent compared to a few years ago. But it is what it is. It's part of the growth.
Things are hot in Phoenix in more ways than one.
That's right. That's right.
What's the temperature there today?
I think it were like at a balmy maybe 103 because we have monsoons. So
It's cold today. 103. Not bad.
Yeah, 103 with lots of humidity.
Oof. Well, tell us more about your background and HomeKey. You know, how did you get here? How did you become the startup founder of a fast growing company?
Yeah, HomeKey is my fourth tech startup. I had a couple of startups in the travel and hospitality industry. Had an exit there as well. And how this came about was after, like a lot of entrepreneurs that move through an exit, sometimes your assets like expand a little bit, right? So I did that with my home. We did a major improvement, remodel, pretty sizable home on a piece of land. And over time, your life continues to evolve, right? So we moved to a different season where it was like, maybe we don't need all this and let's contract a little bit, right? But what we did get to see is the choices made for that home, which some of more could be considered extravagant. What we dealt with then was the maintenance and all the upkeep of that home and how costly that became as we had to be really cognizant of our dollars, right? And in that process was not only how do I convey everything that was done to this home to a potential buyer, but how do I convey the actual data? So the first kind of embryonic seedling that everybody can associate with would be like paint, right? I opened a cabinet in my garage and it had 12 different paint cans and more stains and they were faded. And it was like, how do I give all of this to the next owner? And then you start moving through that process of selling the home and realizing how much time it takes to fill out the legal documentation about disclosures and how long this warranty is good for and who took care of that and those types of things. We moved through that sale and we bought a more typical production home. And even though it was only a few years old, the day that we move in, builders are scuffing up the outside door surround, paint's getting nicked up, walls are getting nicked up, and we know absolutely nothing about our home. It's only a few years old that we had just bought, right? Which is ridiculous, absurd in this world. That your cars can tell you what they need, or, you know, more complex systems like that's called jet avionics can predict things, right, for happening. But yet there's nothing for what in most people's lives is their largest investment. And that's what really made me say there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a simpler way to save homeowners as well as everybody who touches the home time to deal with that home, right?
So you started this as, you know, trying to solve your own problem, right?
Exactly. Which is
usually some of the best, you know, startups are, you know, founders have, you know, experience in an industry or they have a, you know, a problem that they can relate to or understand and they're crazy and wild enough to try and solve it.
That's me. I like taking really complex issues, problems, and trying to create really, really simplified user experiences to solve those, right? So we're not fully there, though. What we have today, along with a lot of startups, is your early app, right? And we have visions of adding voice so that you can simply ask Alexa to do things like that will easily get done, either to order a part or maybe contact a favorite home pro, those types of things. But yeah, creating a very, very simple way to manage your home and track the maintenance over time so that when you do go to sell that home, now I have my HomeKey report, right? Much
so
like
I'm looking
Carfax.
I'm looking at your website and it's really nice, by the way. And looking at the How It Works page and kind of all the features and functionality of what HomeKey does. And I'm excited to hear more about those. But my first question for you is what it does today the same vision of what you had when you started this? Like the problem you originally thought you were trying to solve, how did that evolve?
Yeah, it definitely has evolved. Number one, our first phase, we are only available through new home builders, certain new home builders in select communities. So we will get to the point where it's available to any homeowner. We're not there yet, right? And there's reasons for that. But home builders have a lot pain points more so than we originally imagined, right? So it does have a lot of benefits for the builder itself. And we view the home as an entity. This hasn't changed from the vision. So the data comes with that home, right? The homeowner literally does nothing to input anything, and the builder doesn't do a lot. But the experiences, if you bought the new a home from one of our builders, you activate that home by scanning what we call our unique ID or the key code, and you instantly have access to everything in that home. So that is part of the vision. There is much, much more beyond that. Some of it available today.
But it sounds like, so your current go-to-market strategy is based off working with home builders.
That's correct.
And so is that how you originally thought the go-to-market strategy would be, or that's how you evolved to figure out how to get traction?
So we are, yes and no. That was part of our original go-to market. We also envisioned with what we term as existing homes, and we do have a very small beta with existing homes that will expand next year. But so I guess to answer your question, the go-to-market really included a couple different things: new home builders, existing homes, and also if you think about the commercial aspects, not necessarily huge thousands of apartment type communities, but in Phoenix anyway, they have what they call these bungalow communities, or there's a lot of build to rent communities, which probably are in your area, right? Where builders are actually building communities you can't buy, they're only renting them. Or the bungalow definition is, hey, we don't really want to live in an apartment, but we don't want to go up to a large home and have to deal with the lawn and all of those things, right? So they take basically the same amount of acreage as you would typically see a really large apartment community, and they'll build generally one story, what I call tiny homes, but they literally are full blown detached, mostly homes. Some of them are duplexes, but most of them are detached with a real small backyard. They call that a bungalow community. And we have an immense amount of interest from that sector, and we really wanted to move into that.
Okay.
But, as you can imagine, it also would require a lot of different types of interfaces, right? Our interface right now, we have a mobile app for the homeowner. We do have an interface for home builders, but we don't really have a large commercial interface where a management company or a large maintenance team can manage hundreds or thousands of units. And then also a more utilitarian app. Our app is very consumer oriented.
Right.
To target the homeowner, right? So that's why we pulled back from that and really, really are focusing 99% on new home builders.
Very cool. So I'm curious to know, like, what is the revenue model for something like this? Is it a monthly recurring type thing to the homeowner, or the builder pays a flat fee for every house? Or like, how did you figure out the
great question. Model. So the builder does pay for each home. We are a standard in their home. So that's an interesting piece as well, right? We become a base standard in every home, no matter the brand of builder. So they pay a one-time fee as well as some ongoing annual fees, depending on what they opt for in the future, right? We have some marketing tool sets for them, and other tools for their customer service teams. Currently and always, what is in the app today, meaning accessing all of the home's information, adding to that information, and then our current to-dos, our basic to-dos that we have today, is free to homeowners and always will be free. So we encourage use. The goal is that we want people to keep their homes updated, maintained, and keep that ongoing record and have that be of use to them. We will next year have premium features that there'll be a homeowner SaaS fee for, simple $5 a month. And that might be for heightened features such as we have some premium features that will come out for to-dos, managing your home pros, those types of things will necessitate the $5 fee, but we'll always have the free version because we want to encourage use and keeping that up to date, right? We can't become the Carfax for your home unless we have use across the board, right? So you're not going to be able to go to Zillow someday and say, oh, this home has been well maintained and it has a report available, right? If we don't have usage. So,
well, and I see a lot of value out of what you're doing. I mean, I have a fairly large home, and, you know, trying to keep track of all the different HVAC systems we have and how old they are and when you need to do maintenance on them, and, you know, all this kind of stuff like that, is nobody knows, right? And if you don't have some kind of recording of any of it, you really have no idea. And I mean, I could see a lot of value out of that. And I love your comment earlier about talking about the paint, right? Like, I've got all sorts of buckets of paint in my basement and I don't probably need any of them. And hell yeah, everything's probably faded and doesn't match anymore anyways, but I still got a whole bunch of buckets of paint. But it would be really nice to know, like, what the colors of everything are and all that. Luckily, I found a little device not too long ago called a Color Muse that you could use and, like, hold up to something and it would tell you the color. That was, like, the most enlightening thing I ever found. And but it would be nice if I could do that and then, like, go into the app and, like, record, like, okay, this is, you know, Killam beige and this is alabaster white or whatever.
Right.
And, like, somebody would actually freaking know. It'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, those tools are really cool. We're actually in the process right now of doing an evaluation on three or four of them, because as you probably saw, there are different price points for them. Mm-hmm. So we want to understand, even though we know the paint colors, our homeowners know the paint colors in their homes. And by the way, that's inside and out, the difference between a trim and your wall. Right? Yeah. But those paint meters can be used, if you think about it, like, hey, I have these fabric on, I don't know, my window coverings, right? And I want an accent wall that matches that.
Right.
So for new homeowners, that's still very, very useful, but we are looking towards the future, and they're great for a homeowner that says, hey, I got to match this somehow, right? But homeowners can update anything in their home. Generally, they're updating home systems, like, hey, we're adding soft water systems, or I'm adding this smart feature, but paint is our number one. And the cool thing about paint is when they do update a home, we've had homeowners immediately repaint the entire interior of a home all the way to an accent wall. So when you go to an add paint in the app, you'd basically say it's in this room or these number of rooms. And then it'll actually ask you, is that an accent or are you repainting the whole room? Mm-hmm. So if it's an accent, it adds it to that room or multiple rooms, versus replacing it, right?
Very cool. I do want to take a moment to remind everybody that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. You know, I'm curious, what is it like hiring software developers in Phoenix? They're hard to find like everywhere else?
Well, I think things are shifting a little bit right now with the economy. And I think things have shifted since COVID, to be quite frank. Some ways for the better. You know, locale is not quite as much of
a lot of your team remote? Major.
Actually, it's not. Most of our team is local. Okay. We're not opposed to remote. We prefer local, mainly just because of the stage that we're still in, right? We want to iterate and move as quickly as possible. I know that as we grow the company, it's definitely going to become more disparate, and we're going to have people on the ground in other regions anyway. That's upcoming very soon. So we're definitely not opposed to it. Hiring developers... like home prices, they've gone up in Phoenix because of that exact thing, right? So home prices go up, salaries have to go up. And or, you know, even if they are remote, that's the beauty is if they have the talent. So but I would say today versus a year ago, I think things are maybe a little better for being able to hire talent than it was, say, a year ago.
Well, what's interesting is the economy cooling off a little bit now. It's probably making it a little easier. Seems like most software developers were making $150,000 to $200,000 a year, like senior developers all over the place. It was crazy. The market got super crazy. And the war in Ukraine had a dramatic effect to that. Most people don't think about that, but there was like hundreds of thousands, millions of software developers in Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia that either are busy fighting right now, or due to sanctions, you can't pay them. Like, how do I pay my developers that were in, that I had that in Russia, you know, like they were good guys and, you know, whatever, but how do I pay them? Like, I can't see any of their bank account anymore. Right. Like, it dramatically had an impact on software engineering. Most people don't really think about.
But. Yeah. That's a great point. We didn't have, we did leverage some nearshore developers in our first probably 2 years. But a lot of great talent in Eastern Europe. And I can see that having a huge, huge impact. I think, I don't know, even though I would say it's better from an employer standpoint to find good developers right now, I don't know if necessarily the that means that the salaries have gone down. Right? So the range that you gave probably is still very, very true, regardless of the economy. And again, for us, if they are local, housing prices having rose, you know, 30%+ literally at 12 to 18 months, they can demand it. So, it's not like, you know, a decade ago, I said, hey, let's have, you know, an office here and an office in Silicon Valley, and we'll have they can choose where they want to live, right? They can live in Silicon Valley and live in a closet and rent something very, very small. Or they can move to Phoenix and have like a mansion for the same amount of money, right? That's not the case anymore, unfortunately.
Well, now they can come to Kansas.
They
can come to Kansas.
I think it's gotten to the point where a lot of people are looking at like Georgia and Alabama and South Carolina, you know? So,
It's growing everywhere, man. Well, so, you know, going back to your guys' product, I mean, do you see a day where you have partnerships with like big realtor groups, or like every time they sell a house, it's one of the things they do is like, hey, we take pictures of the house, but we also, you know, we spend a couple hours and we go through and document everything about the house and we put it in HomeKey, and it's one of the values we provide, you know, when you sell the house, like everything's documented. So the new homeowner has all of this. Like, I could see that as being like a really nice benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have interest from not only real estate brands, but title companies, those types of entities involved in the closing. I do see a future where we'll leverage strategic partnerships, not only from like the typically thought ones, but we are under NDA with some of the largest home insurance companies. And that's
I could see them needing to know like what's in the house.
Yeah, so I think that we'll expand our beta with a couple strategic partners next year. That'll be interesting for them. We want to learn more. We want to know, like, we have a pretty good variety of homes on the small beta now, but we want to expand that. So let's understand, like, the differences of a home that might be 50 or 60 years old versus 15 years old, right? What are those differences? We always say we see a future of, like, on our new homes, 18 years from now, being able to notify our homeowners like, hey, start socking some money away, because very typically about year 20, you have to replace the undersheathing of your roof. At least in Phoenix, we have the clay roofs, right? And you have the undersheathing. It's very expensive to replace that at year 20. So again, trying to look forward and let homeowners know like what's upcoming in the home. But I forgot where I
Well, so I could see like one of the big benefits of your product and how you guys could generate, you know, revenue is from lead generation for like home services, right? Like, you need to fix your HVAC system, or you need to buy air filters, or whatever it is. I mean, I could see you guys being a big lead generator for, you know, different partnered companies, you know, in different geographies of.
Yeah, absolutely. So the current product, we didn't really talk about how it works, but so the homeowner has access on a typical production home to about 280 to 300 things in their home, right? And even if the homeowner doesn't necessarily want to dive into all that or care about all that, our platform leverages all that data to then build a home's annual care plan that's unique to that home. So a new home that has luxury vinyl tile is going to have very different care for their floor than someone that has like hand scraped real wood floors, right?
Yep.
So the system accounts for all of that. And then also, you mentioned, you know, products, parts, things like that. We actually are including those today. We're embedded with Amazon. So you don't have to research it. You don't have to understand if this part's going to fit. You don't have to understand if the cleaner has the right pH balance for your floor. That's all in the app. They can tap and purchase it. It doesn't transact in our app. It actually goes out to the Amazon app. You have what you need within a few days, right? Next year, we will add in the management of Home Pros. We'll start immediately with homeowners being allowed to enter their own Home Pros that they might currently use. You mentioned you have a big house. I'm sure you have, I don't know, are you a guy that gets out and mows the lawn every week still because you like it?
Nope.
But if you have a landscaper, if you have a Phoenix, there's a lot of pool guys, right?
Knowing their information. Who is my preferred vendor?
Yeah. So not only like knowing that and keeping track of that, but managing that. Think about like saying, hey, requesting, hey, I need an appointment, or hey, make sure that you add your invoice into the app, that those types of things, right? So we'll allow those, and then we'll likely partner with, we already talking to a few strategic partnerships about a Home Pro network, right?
And that's seems like somebody like Lowe's or Home Depot just needs to buy you guys, and it becomes like my to-do list every Saturday morning is like, it's like, okay, it's time to seal the marble today, and then next weekend it's some other bullshit I gotta do every Saturday morning.
Yeah, we I will say that we've had a few introductory meetings with some major home store brands. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
We're certainly not looking for acquisition at this point. We have a long ways to go to fulfill the vision. I'm really passionate about doing that. That's why we started this, is, hey, let's see this through and through, so that we can see the full, you know, ecosystem come into play with this. It does get very large, but
I think it's interesting if you can track all the different forms of maintenance and to-dos that you're at least supposed to do in a house, that most of us probably neglect a lot of it, or we just can't keep track of it, right?
Yeah.
Things like resealing your marble countertops every year, or replacing air filters, or turning on the humidifier, or turning off the humidifier, like all these different things. I can't keep track of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that you mentioned resealing the granite countertops, right? That was one of many that I experienced. Like, hey, I didn't know when I put in these porous stone floors that I had to not only clean them, but reseal them. What?
Yeah.
How much is that going to cost? Like, so yes, all of that, we're coming out with an all new to-do system later this year, so that we're going to break up, let's just call it kind of the cleaning type maintenance, and separate it from like the general maintenance of like, hey, replace your HVAC filter or your refrigerator water filter, right? And then we're also going to pull out major maintenance. So if you're talking about an annual HVAC inspection, right?
Yeah.
Those are things that we really, really want to alert the homeowners of and say, hey, not only do you need to handle this, but if you have a Home Pro do this, make sure that you, you know, add that receipt. Those are the types of things we'll get to the point where we're verifying that.
Yeah.
And very possibly, not to use like, you know, key terms here, but our view is on major maintenance or additions to homes where you have to pull permits, those types of things, those events get added to the blockchain.
Sure.
So that when a home is, 15, 20, 30 years old, you have that irrefutable record of what's happened in the home.
So you guys are using the blockchain for part of this?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Yeah.
Part of the goal?
I think it makes a lot of sense for key milestones, right? And major maintenance. It's too slow and becomes very costly if we spread it out across like an immense amount of data. If you think about when I say 280 things on average per home, that's not even all the metadata, right? Those are just items. And then you have all the metadata that goes along with that. So we track an immense amount of data, and to put all of that in the blockchain just doesn't make sense. But for key things that, you know, think about, again, going back to your car of like, yep, they did the major maintenance at the 40,000 mile mark, right? Or the 60,000 mile mark, like those types of major milestones, we absolutely want to capture and make sure that they're never changed. Like if you're buying a used home that has HomeKey in it, shouldn't say used, but a previously owned home that has HomeKey in it, wouldn't it be great to know that you can say, oh, like for sure, these things were done in this house and that's not been like fabricated or anything, right?
Yeah, there's so many things to keep track of. I'm actually in the middle of a major remodel myself, remodeling my kitchen and some other things. And yeah, just even now, it's like I how to keep track for the refrigerators and dishwashers and microwave and all these things. Like I have no idea, like trying to keep track of all that stuff. And then what kind of maintenance is required and, you know, in the future, if I needed parts for it or whatever, right? It would be great to have something like this that I can record it in now. Like I'm doing the remodeling. I know exactly what I have now. Put it in there. But yeah. No, later on I'll need it and I will have forgotten.
That is a, we do see that as a perfect time to onboard existing homes as well. The more major of a remodel, the better, but I have experience in that. So you're right. You're already making all these choices. You have all the data and you're probably going to do what most people do. You're going to take all those user guides. You're going to throw them in a drawer in the garage or in a closet, in a bin, and you'll never look at them again, right?
So I'm just going to throw them away.
Or that too. And you Google,
I will just Google it if I need it.
If you have HomeKey, you don't have to worry about any of that, right?
There we go. Automatically
gives you the warranty, gives you the user guide, when you installed it, all that good stuff.
I'm ready. Let's go. How do I get started?
I'll put you on the beta list for next year when we expand it.
Well, so what do you see as the future, you know, for HomeKey? Where are you going with this? I mean, besides trying to get it in every single home in the country, I mean, what other goals do you have?
Yeah, I think as we go to market, like I said, we'll expand the beta next year. I think we'll leverage a partnership with likely one of the larger iBuyers. Makes a lot of sense if you think about they're buying homes in the thousands and they're doing some level of refresh to a home and then they turn around and sell it again. That's a really great point to expand with. And then we go out, you know, from there. I think we'll leverage maybe some other key strategic partnerships until we get to the point where you can see this on a shelf at a major home store, right?
Do you see yourself expanding to, you know, apartments or even commercial buildings or other things? I would imagine commercial buildings have the same problem, right? Like they have no idea what all the crap is. Like they aren't even in the building. Like the person who owns the building is never even in the building, but they still need stuff done to the building, you know?
That's right. We do get asked that a lot. Commercial, we've been asked by universities to, you know, restaurants, how many are on campus these days, or labs, right? And all the different devices in a lab, those types of things. But I have to say that even in the commercial space I spoke about with the apartments, right? Mm-hmm. There are more startups that are moving into that space as well as the commercial space that are kind of play this role. If you think about it from a concept standpoint, it's exactly the same. And your first thing is like, oh, why can't I put this in my warehouse, right? But if you think about it from a data set standpoint, you know, we're amassing a very, very large database on types of everything that you put in a home. We don't have that for commercial buildings. HVAC systems are completely different for commercial buildings compared to homes, right?
Yep.
So the relations, I guess, and the concept are the same, but as far as the data itself, and again, the interfaces, if you think about somebody that owns a business and they have a maintenance person that is handling that, it's a very different type of application. We have actually said maybe we could license a portion of the platform or the system to somebody that really wanted to expand it and run into the commercial, but I think we have our hands full trying to get to the 132 million existing homes, and that's, in addition to new ones.
Well, and this is the problem with building software, right? Is figuring out what is your niche and staying in your niche and not like trying to chase all these different things, right? It's very difficult because, you know, you get a different phone call every week from somebody who that wants, you know, it's like, oh, maybe you could help us do this thing. And you could chase all of them, but you end up not being successful for any of them. You mentioned other startups. Like there's actually a really fairly well-known startup in Kansas City called Homebase. And their whole thing is for apartments. So they help people who own apartments with maintenance and, you know, getting maintenance people access to the apartments with smart locks and integration with all the that kind of stuff and helping the people that live there pay their bills and stuff like that. But it's a different whole different kind of niche, right? But related, but different. And there's so many different niches. And that's the hard thing about being a startup and building technology is trying to figure out what is our niche and trying to stay in that lane without jumping all over the place and getting killed.
Yeah, you definitely have to be very careful about trying to do too much and be everything to everyone. So
you end up being nobody.
Really, really careful. There's a huge startup that's further along than we are in the Arizona ecosystem called Smart Rent, and they're doing that same thing in the apartment space, right? And it was on our radar. We did, like I said, mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, about going after the bungalow communities and so forth. And I'm going to actually praise several of the VC that I've interacted with. And I had several early on say, Shane, stay focused on the new home builder space. This is a really great entry. And don't worry about going after the commercial right now. Don't worry about the existing. Stay focused on solving the new home builder pain points, right? And that's what we've done. And it's proven really well. If we had started to think about how do we create these other interfaces and make it work for those other kind of niche sub-industries, I guess, if you will, you know, where would we be at with the product today for home builders and homeowners, right? So I will stay heavily, heavily focused likely for the rest of this year and all of next year. And like I said, we'll dabble, we'll expand the existing home beta next year, but yeah,
well, I'm excited to get that VIP invite to join the beta. I'm excited. I'm ready to join.
I will get you on the list, Matt. Well, I think I know a guy.
All right, good. So as we wrap up the episode here today, I do want to remind everybody, if you need help finding hiring software developers, testers, or leaders, FullScale can help. We have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions and let our platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced and qualified software developers, testers, and more. At FullScale, we specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. Love what you're doing. And I think it would be awesome to, have this type of product. So we also own a scheduling system called Gigabook, and people use it for any kind of appointment scheduling. And we had a customer, I think it was, I can't remember what it was called, but they were doing something kind of related to what you're doing where I don't know if they were a maintenance company or what they were exactly, but they would go in and like what they referred to as kind of like blueprinting the house of like getting like all the details like that you're trying to track. And that was the first time I ever heard of this concept. And I don't remember what they were, or what exactly they were doing, but it reminds me a lot of what you're doing. They weren't doing exactly the same thing. They were doing it in regards to like home repair or something. I don't know. But when I heard about it back then, I was like, that's a great idea. Like, I wish I had something that would tell me, you know, everything I needed to know about my house. So, I mean, I think it's a really, really valuable thing. And I can't wait to get that VIP invite. And I think you're onto something. I like it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, there's a lot going on in prop tech. You know, a lot going on with trying to document even the outside of a home or the inside. Maybe it was around like being able to prep for a remodel or, hey, I'm interested in doing this, right? I'm seeing that those types of companies creep into the space, especially with the augmented reality, which is amazing as well. I mean, there's startups now you can, you know, have them come in, you can redesign your whole interior home virtually, right? And purchase it. Like, that's crazy. So it's really cool what technology is doing in the space, but in our space in particular, you know, why hasn't this happened to date? And we're fixing that. That's what we're fixing. This making a home intelligent so it actually tells you what it has and how to care for it. Like, that should have been done years ago. And that's what we're solving. So,
well, I love it. And congratulations for being one of the top startups on our podcast in Phoenix. And we love being able to shine the spotlight on Phoenix and cover all the top startups. Be sure to check out the show notes. There's links to learn more about all the other episodes about the top startups. And once again, congratulations for being on the list.
Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate you having me on today. It's been a pleasure. And I'll definitely track all the others on the list as well. And
all right.
Look forward to getting you on our list next
time. All right. So, yes. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.